This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up at center and coming in as Lou. Bill with Dyke center that.
Gets it again. That's the shot.
The Flames are about to invade Big D. Michael Farley joins us to talk Flames stars. Welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, from Inside Edge Hockey News. It is time for episode 4, recording October 8th, 2019. Busy week for me. Hoping and praying that our flight takes off Thursday morning as we head to Sin City to watch the Calgary Flames take on the Vegas Golden Knights. When I booked this trip, I thought, October, first week of the season, going to be great hockey, a lot of excitement, and the weather should be fine, right? I mean, should be. 74 degrees outside today in my hometown in North Dakota. Yeah, guess what? We're predicted to get about 20 inches of snow in the next 2 days with extreme winds, which means we won't be able to see anything, which also means my airplane probably will not take off, which means I will be stuck sitting at home watching the game when I have prime tickets and also a fun trip planned with my wife and friends to go see my favorite team, the Calgary Flames, in Vegas, where I've never seen a game yet, and I'm super, super excited to go to T-Mobile to watch a game. So, all the listeners, I need your prayers that my plane takes off on Thursday. I will report back and have all kinds of fun information about the Flames in Vegas upon my return. But I just got to get there. Flames start. We're 3 games in. We're 1-2. Disappointing tonight. Very disappointing. We'll talk about that next in the show under game recaps. I'm excited for this show. Special guest in the show from Clean Skate Podcast. Michael Farley joins us. He follows the Dallas Stars and has a great Dallas Stars podcast that you can catch twice a week on the Hockey Podcast Network. Great content, great, great show, and we're happy to have him on the show to talk Dallas Stars, Calgary Flames, which is an interesting matchup because, in my mind, Dallas kind of had Calgary's number last year. It should be fun. It's going to be exciting.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing the NHL to the fans.
All right, let's talk Flames. Let's talk Flames tonight. Just got done watching Los Angeles come into the Olympic Saddledome, the Scotiabank Saddledome. Shades from the past there, huh? Anyways, not impressed tonight, not impressed at all. I know some of you guys are all hyped and pumped because the Flames came back, but quite honestly, what I saw in the first period pissed me off. Calgary falls 4-3 in overtime. A horrendous first period. I'm not 100% sure on the shots in the first period. I don't even want to pull them up to look, but I believe it was 13-2. I can tell you that none of the play was in the LA Kings zone, which does not bode well for the Flames. And I didn't think David Rittich had a real good start to the game. Flames spot the Kings 3 goals. Toffoli gets the first one from Kovalchuk and Doughty. Sean Walker gets the second one. Assist from Blake Lizotte and Tyler Toffoli. Blake Lizotte played junior hockey in my hometown here. Great, great kid. Good rookie. Love to see him doing well. that end of the first period, 2-0, Kovalchuk, who gets his first of the year. In the second, 3:46 in, Kempe Doughty on assists. And then all of a sudden, stuff starts to happen. Lucic does his job again. Gets into a little bit of a tussle. But all of a sudden, funny how that changes the whole scheme of things. Tkachuk scores unassisted. Hanifin scores from Tkachuk and Brody. I still think Backlund got that one. 3-2 after two. All of a sudden, the Flames are back in this. Calgary completely dominated the third period. End of the game shots were 40-29. It was way more than 11 shot discrepancy early on, like I said. But the huge comeback capped off with an amazing goal by Matthew Tkachuk with a little over a minute to go. Minute four to be exact, on a double tip, possible high stick. It looked good to me. And counts. So we go to overtime. Sam Bennett takes a penalty prior to overtime on a trip, which I initially thought was accidental. Maybe not so much after I watched the highlight, which disappointed me because I think Sam Bennett had a great, great opportunity tonight. And I'm not so sure that they were super impressed with his performance tonight. I do have faith in the guy. He gets ripped all the time, and I hate that he gets ripped all the time. I think he'll be back. I think he'll be good, and I like him on that second line. Guess who gets the game winner? Yeah. Yep, you guessed it. Make you want to puke. Drew Doughty scores on the power play in overtime. He acts like he won the Stanley Cup and is actually a deflection off Hamonic's stick, so his original shot would have been stopped by Riddick, but he gets a lucky bounce off Hamonic's stick. Doughty wins the game, of course, in true Drew Doughty fashion. Acts like a goofball on the way off the ice. And I don't know what you guys think, but I'm a big believer in hockey gods. I am. And I think when you do those things, you're asking for trouble. And I think that that may just find Drew Doughty. Anyways, disappointing outing from the Calgary Flames. You know, it really didn't dominate in any categories tonight. A lot of giveaways, a lot of just sloppy play. I thought Rasmus Anderson was good. I didn't mind Hanifin again. First line, not quite as dominant tonight. I did think Matthew Tkachuk was by far hands and heads above everybody else, was the Flames' best player tonight. Although I will add that I did think he got a little bit too wrapped up in the Doughty thing. I think that actually helped him to a point. But in the third, I think he just kind of pushed it maybe just a little too far. Didn't like that as much. But anyways, he is my number one star of the night. I thought Matthew Tkachuk was good. The Flames salvage a point out of the home loss. And now head on the road to Dallas, Vegas, San Jose. We will talk about those later on the show when we hit to the game previews. But now it's time to talk Dallas Stars, Calgary Flames, and preview Thursday night's game with special guest from Clean Skate Podcast, Michael Farley.
This week, big matchup. Calgary, Dallas, and that's why we're here talking, huh?
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to see what happened, especially since my Dallas Stars have come out a bit flat at the beginning of the season.
They have. They're off to an 0-3 start. I'm sure you weren't expecting that and are not happy about that. What do you think the reason that they're at that 0-3 start is?
Well, I mean, it's I don't want to blame it all on injuries, but it's definitely hard to understate the game one of the season. Roman Polak, I don't know if you saw the video, he smashed into the boards.
Yeah.
So that's a third pairing defenseman, a mainstay on the defense. And then we had Blake Como, who's another depth forward, took a puck to the head and fell funny, and he's out for a couple weeks. Jason Dickinson took a cross check, and that's a second liner right there, and he's out. And so now we're frantically calling up forwards and defensemen. So all of a sudden, one of our strengths and, hey, we finally have depth, has turned into, oh my God, we have no one past our first line.
It's funny how hockey can do that. It seems like when you get injuries, they come in bunches, and timing is also, you know, a big factor there too. And starting off the season, getting down, it makes it a little bit tricky and a little bit scary too.
Yeah, for sure. And then just past that, our goaltending, which was a huge strength last season, just has been okay. Every game we've lost so far has been one goal games, but there's definitely at least one goal each game that I watch. I'm like, you got to have that.
Yeah. You know, do you kind of pin Dallas's playoff hopes and then playoff success on Ben Bishop this year?
Yes. Which is a scary thing to say because he's a long track record of getting hurt at the worst possible times. But I wouldn't say it's all on Bishop, but he is definitely a huge part of it.
Well, he was a huge part of last year for you guys, and I really like Ben Bishop. I think he's in the top, I don't know, what do you think, five, six in goalies in the league, and I think a lot of how far Dallas goes in the playoffs this year will be hinging on if he's healthy, number one, like you said, and how he plays in that first round.
Yeah. He held us in the series with the Blues last season. If it wasn't for him, we would have lost that series a lot earlier than we did. We don't expect Bishop to start 60, 70 games. I mean, we rely on Hudobin quite a bit like we did last season. So if Bishop can stay healthy and give us like 55 quality good starts, I think we'll be okay.
You know, and that's a little bit about how the NHL is. And I know in Calgary, you know, if we could get 60 games out of Riddick, we'd be loving life if he's playing that well. You know, Ben Bishop, the luxury you guys have is your backup. Your backup's a great, great backup that, I mean, about 29 of the 31 teams would love to have him as their backup. So that's definitely a strength for you guys.
Yeah, and I mean, with Calgary, though, I mean, you guys just picked up. You did a bit of a wife swap with Edmonton there with Mike Smith and Talbot. I mean, so you have Smith out and Talbot in. Are you confident in Talbot's ability to play backup to Riddick?
Oh, for sure. I really am. I was not a Mike Smith fan. Edmonton saw this weekend what used to drive me crazy about him, and that's from playing the puck. I know he'd be considered in the league good at it, but if it does cost you 8 to 10 goals a year, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
And Edmonton had two of them on Saturday night that were him getting a little too sloppy with the puck. And I know it saves your defensemen and things like that, but boy, I'm not going to miss that this year. As far as Cam Talbot goes, I would like to see him get, you know, 25, 30 starts. I think he would be solid in backup. I don't know that he doesn't push Riddick for the starting job. And I know that sounds maybe a little bit high hopes for a goalie that has struggled lately, but you got to look. All these goalies that have went into Edmonton have really had no help at all. Talbot, 2 years ago, all of us in the league were talking about him being a top five goalie in the league. Well, Dubnyk struggled in Arizona and in Edmonton. As soon as he got out of Edmonton, gets to Minnesota, boom, all of a sudden Devin Dubnyk's relevant in the league again. I don't know. I think I'd love to see Riddick be the starter this year, but I think it's going to be critical that Talbot gives us that strong backup.
So
this league is too hard to win without having a strong backup.
Yeah. So you definitely see it more as a 1A, 1B and less of a starter backup situation there.
I'd say 1A, 1B. I think that's a trend that we're going to see more and more of in the hockey. I think it's critical to have a good backup. I think that's why your Dallas Stars went out and got Hudobin. You need that security blanket. I mean, you just need it.
Yeah, especially when injuries, and especially having Ben Bishop, who is so injury prone. If we didn't have a solid backup there, and Bishop goes down for a couple games at a time, it would, especially with the way the Stars play, we don't. I'm not going to say we play bad defense, but we definitely don't play as tight of defense as I feel like we should be. And so if we didn't have a strong backup, it would crumble very fast.
Yeah, I mean, it. This league's tough. 2 points a night are tough to get, so you need those strong backups.
Oh.
With the acquisition of Joel Pavelski this year for Dallas, how do you see that playing out?
So I was super stoked when I saw him sign with Dallas. Just from a pure intangible standpoint, he is hands down a leader in the league. Like, no matter where he goes, every time he steps into a locker room, no matter what locker room it is, people know that he is someone that they can follow. I guess he's been around, he's done it. He was the captain of the Sharks for a couple of years, so like he is a leader, and so that is huge, especially for a team that is trying to get into the playoffs, and for some of the guys on the team don't have that much playoff experience. So I think that is just a huge factor outside of the actual hockey, like on ice product. Once he's on the ice, though, I haven't seen it very much in the first three games, but to be honest, everyone has been quiet for the Stars the first three games. But with the power play that we have and his like elite tipping ability in front of the net, his hand-eye coordination is just unreal. So you stick him in front of the net, and then you just have all of our shooters shoot at him, and I think he has the potential to – he had 38 last season. I don't see why he shouldn't be able to hit 30 this season as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It seems so weird seeing him in a jersey other than the Sharks. But the Sharks tied themselves up with a lot of money on defense and had to let their captain go. So I don't think that'll bode well for San Jose, but it'll be interesting to see how he picks up and continues that success in Dallas.
Yeah, for sure. And if you look at the other moves that Jim Nill made over the preseason, most teams, when they go in, they're trying to make their team a little bit younger and faster. But I think he looked at his team and saw with the Stars that we have a pretty big bunch of young, fast players with less experience. And so, like, bringing in Pavelski, we also brought in Corey Perry, Andre Sekera. We definitely went for more steady experience than younger and faster.
Yeah, it's funny how this league changes. You know, 2 years ago, everybody just wanted young and fast, and then we saw what St. Louis did last year, and it's like, maybe not. Maybe we got to have a little bit more of a mix of put some toughness in there and some veteran leadership. And it's funny how every year it seems like it's a roller coaster on what GMs think is going to work that year.
Yeah, and speaking of toughness, you guys got a massive upgrade. I mean, another flip with Edmonton there. You bring in Lucic and Neal. I'm going to be honest, when I saw the deal, I thought Edmonton came out on top with that one just from the caliber of player. But I'm interested, are you excited about Lucic?
I was actually very upset when it happened. I was like, I thought it was fake news, to be honest with you, because I thought it was that far-fetched. Am I upset Neal's gone? No, not at all. I gave him the benefit of the doubt numerous times last year, but it just didn't seem like his heart was there, and it didn't seem like his effort was there. Will he do okay in Edmonton? Yeah, he'll probably do just fine. Was I happy to get Lucic? No, I've never been a Lucic fan. He's growing on me. I think what's going to be different in Calgary is the fact that we're bringing him in with no expectations at all. The only thing, the reason that Calgary brought Lucic in was not to be a goon, but to be a deterrent. That's it. I mean, he's not fast. He's a big body in front of the net that'll help out down low. But the thing is, we're not expecting him to be a top six. Where Edmonton, when they signed him, they had him pinned in as a top six. He's not a top six player in the NHL. He'll be a fourth liner for Calgary, and he'll probably be very effective. I really liked his play on Thursday night. Saturday night, he was a little bit, I don't know, irrelevant. But my hopes and my expectations aren't that high, so he probably won't let us down.
Yeah, and it's hard not to get excited when you see him just punching guys in the face left and right.
Well, you know, last year in the playoffs, Calgary's first-round exit was terrible. And a lot of it I pinned on the softness of the team. I thought we were super soft in the playoffs. And I'm not saying Lucic is the save-all there, but it sure is not going to hurt bringing in a guy with a little bit of grit. that Lucic will bring in, and you pair him with, you know, you have a Sam Bennett on the second line now, who's a big body that can move fast and loves to hit. And all of a sudden now teams will start thinking twice maybe a little bit about getting too rough with Calgary.
Yeah, but I thought that, like you said, Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk were those guys for you guys.
Yeah, but Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk aren't, you know, we all talk about Tkachuk being tough. Well, and I'm not saying he's not tough, but he's not. He's more of a in-your-face, drive-you-crazy kind of player. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk's not out there laying big hits or coming in to, you know, to fight. He'll start fights and he'll get things going, but he's not a tough guy fighter. And I know fighting's virtually irrelevant in the league now, and that's fine. But I just think what Lucic is going to bring is that toughness in the corners. When a guy like Zarnik gets hit like he did the other night, he's going to be there to stand up for his teammates. And maybe Johnny Gaudreau might not get slashed quite as much this year just because they'll have to answer to Lucic.
Yeah, I will say teams definitely like to, once they recognize your superstars, they just hack and slash. And the amount of uncalled things that could have been called, it happens to Tyler Seguin all the time. He comes flying through the neutral zone. Teams are just doing everything they can to slow him down. So I have no doubt that Gaudreau is facing the same thing as well.
Yeah, and I think those guys, I was very frustrated with Gaudreau a lot of last season and especially in the playoffs, where he doesn't fight through things like he needs to fight through. But I like having Lucic as a deterrent. I'm not going to call myself a Lucic fan yet. He's got a lot to prove to me, but my expectations are not high.
Okay, so then what, in your opinion, then, what would be a good year for Milan Lucic? Like, what would you look at and be like, you know what, he had a good year?
10 goals, some grit like he showed on Thursday night where he stuck up for a teammate. That's all I'm looking for. Seriously, 10 goals and to be a deterrent out there. And I don't know that Milan Lucic is afraid to take a suspension to protect a teammate. And that'll put some fear into other teams.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's definitely a bit of a deterrent when you have the possibility of Lucic crushing you out there, for sure. How do you feel that your season has gone so far? I mean, you're 1-1 on the season. You shut out the Canucks the other night, and then a tough opening night to the Avalanche. That was probably a bit of a tough reminder of last season. But how do you feel the season is so far, even though it's so early?
Well, you know, I thought Thursday night's opener against Colorado was about what I expected. I mean, I look at Colorado as a top three team in the league, top three, top five team in the league. So how we played, I thought we came out really slow and sluggish, took too many penalties early on, kind of put us behind the eight ball. But second and third period, I didn't mind the way the Calgary Flames played in the second and third period. So when that game ended, I mean, basically it was a 4-3 game with an empty netter, made it 5-3. I wasn't extremely upset or anything. I thought Saturday night at home opener against Vancouver, Calgary shuts them out. Riddick looked really, really good, made three or four big stops. I thought Calgary was really good. Again, took penalty early on. After they got that killed off, I thought they were good in the first and the second. I thought Vancouver controlled play in the third period. Which is not uncommon when you're up with a lead like that. And I don't know, I was pretty happy with Saturday night. I think we learned a few things about the lines, and we had some shuffling going on and some players moving around there. And I think that's what we'll see early on in the season. And I like that Sam Bennett was moved up to the second line, and we'll see how that goes tonight against the LA Kings. But I don't know, I was pretty impressed with Saturday night.
Yeah, and so then what are you looking for then? Hopefully the Stars, when they show up to play Calgary on Thursday, hopefully the Stars have at least won one game. They play the Capitals tonight. But what are you looking for in the Stars game?
You know, over the years, it seems like Dallas has had Calgary's number, especially in the last couple of years. last year's battles with Dallas were always difficult, and it'll be interesting to see. I thought Dallas was really going to be a strong team in the Western Conference this year. I thought it was like, okay, I thought that for a couple years, and they just didn't quite get over that hump, and I thought this year they would. I know they're battling some injuries now, and I know you guys got to play Washington tonight, and that's no easy task. There's a good possibility you'll come in 0-4 to the Calgary game on Thursday night. Well, going to Dallas is not an easy road trip, and it starts a three-game road trip for the Flames. You know, I hate predicting what's going to happen and things like that, but I know Calgary is going to have to definitely be on the top of their game. There's a chance that Talbot gets to start that night. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, and hopefully Calgary's offense can show their depth and wear down the Dallas defense and see what happens.
Yeah, I definitely would say if Calgary wants to win, they've really got to take advantage of the lack of depth now that we have. We have our third and fourth line has four call-ups from the AHL, so Calgary definitely has the depth to roll over the Stars if they really want to. So I definitely think that it's going to be an interesting night. I'm not sure how it's going to go. I mean, I think, like you said, it's hard to predict games, but I'd like to see Dallas come out, and we haven't played. There's just been a lot of defensive lapses that have led to losses, especially in the Detroit game this last Sunday. There's 53 seconds left, and they have their top line out, and it's just a clean face-off loss, and then nobody goes to the guy who already has a hat trick in the game, and Mantha scores the fourth goal to win the game with less than a minute in the game. So it was just like, and then I watched the play a few times, and it just seemed like people were unsure of who to cover, or there was a lack of communication. And so there's definitely every game so far, there's been a few big mental defensive lapses, and especially against a team like Calgary that has such high-end skilled players and then solid depth. If you one bad defensive lapse and you put yourself behind the eight ball.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I know though, if Dallas can't find a way to get points against Washington tonight, it's going to be a very, very frustrated Dallas Stars team that Calgary takes on Thursday night.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Let's take a quick trip around the National Hockey League and talk slow starts on the Western Conference. And we'll just kind of cruise through them here. We don't want this to drag on too long tonight because I got a good fan question. And I got to preview three games still. They'll be a little bit compacted tonight, but we're going to do it anyways. All right, around the NHL, slow starts in the Western Conference, and San Jose really is off to a slow start as they drop their first three games, two of them to their big rival, the Vegas Golden Knights. San Jose now, they also lose tonight, and so they are 0-4 as they drop tonight's game to Nashville, 5-2, 0-4 start for the San Jose Sharks. I don't care what anybody says, that is hard to come back from. Four games in a row, man. And I'm going to look like a fool. I had them picked to be third in the division and be a strong contender in the playoffs. So, oh, well, if I'm going to be wrong on San Jose, I'd rather be wrong on San Jose and definitely not wrong on Calgary. So let's just hope it stays with San Jose. Now, next team with slow start, Vancouver Canucks. They are off to an 0-2 start. They get Los Angeles tomorrow night on the second night of a back-to-back. Must win for Vancouver there. LA gets on an airplane tonight here in Calgary and flies down to take on those Vancouver Canucks. Another team that is, I don't know if I'd say like struggling right now, but a lot of people have them as doomed. And I don't know. I still think they hold a wild card spot right now. It is the Winnipeg Jets. They are 2-2. Big win tonight for the Jets as they knock off Pittsburgh 4-1. And defensive scoring barrage for the Jets tonight. And everybody's been ripping on their defense. And their defense did not look good on the defensive end tonight. but really did actually look good on the offensive side. And I believe got 3 of the 4 goals for the Jets as they go on to win. And they are 2-2 headed back home. And I think that I know everybody's against the Jets, but I just think that they might be a team that has a potential to surprise this year. And I don't know if I'm talking big, long playoff run or anything like that, but I do think this team is a playoff team. I like this team. I like the makeup of this team. Last year, I had them pegged as my cup favorites. Not this year, but I also still do like them, and was happy to see them pick up 2 more points against the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. Fan question. This will be a short one, but sweet. From Nathan Jacobs in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Second one I've had out of Saskatoon. 4th episode, 2nd question from Saskatoon. Come on, Calgary guys. Get your questions to me. You can tweet me. You can hit me up on Facebook, anywhere you can get a hold of me. Please submit your fan questions. We want them. I love talking, and I want to hear what Flames fans want my opinions on. Tonight's question: who's the biggest rival of the Calgary Flames? First take, I think a lot of people say, well, Edmonton, the Battle of Alberta. And I love the Battle of Alberta, so don't get me wrong. But I think right now the biggest rival of Calgary is Vancouver. And that's just because we played them in the playoffs recently. We developed a hate. And a lot of that is carried over to regular season. And most of the games against Vancouver lately have been really chippy. The second game of the season this year, we played Vancouver, beat them 3-0. Not ultra chippy, but it had its moments. But playoff breeds hate. In the last 10 years, I couldn't name the last time we played Edmonton in the playoffs. So I think we'd have to go back to 89. I don't know, 90, 91. Long, long time. We have played Vancouver more recently and had some very good series with them. Moving on now to game previews. We're going to quickly roll through 3 games coming up in the week ahead. Thursday night, Calgary invades Dallas. You heard from Michael Farley and his take on that game and that matchup earlier on in the podcast. I hate when Calgary is going to Dallas. For some reason, Dallas just seems to have Calgary's number, and I'm not sure why. Let's hope we can switch that. Dallas is off to a big struggle as they win tonight in overtime over Washington. They get their first 2 points of the season after an 0-3 start. Tonight was just what the doctor ordered for the Dallas Stars, and a win there. And now they head home to welcome the Calgary Flames Thursday night. Then Saturday night, Calgary heads into Sin City, take on the Vegas Golden Knights. That is the game that I pray and hope my airplane gets me there, and I get to go watch that game and attend this one as a fan. Good seats, about 15 rows up in the mid corner where Calgary shoots twice. Be my first time watching a hockey game at T-Mobile, and I am pumped, and I just hope that we're able to get there. I should not be complaining and worrying about weather, but let's just pray I get there safely and sound so I can watch some good hockey on Saturday night. Then Sunday, I'll be hopping on a plane, headed back to my hometown, and hopefully make it back in time to sit down and watch Calgary take on San Jose. And it's Calgary's first back-to-back of the season, and I'm positive in either Vegas or San Jose we will see the debut of Cam Talbot. I am not worried or scared, as some people are. I think Cam Talbot's going to be an asset this year. I think he's going to be very, very good for the Calgary Flames. And even if he gets off to a slow start, we as fans and the media and everybody, we need to give him a chance. We need to let him succeed. We need to not get on our goalies right away. I'll admit it, I was all over Mike Smith last year, but I think we need to take a step back and just really think and watch and let him gel into the goalie that I think he can be in Calgary. I hope that Riddick emerges as our number one and Talbot's our strong backup, but we'll see. We'll get to see for sure this weekend. I'm not sure where we're going to go and see if we'll see him in Vegas or in San Jose, but I would guess one of the two. If I was Bill Peters, I think we'll see Riddick in Dallas. I think we'll see Riddick again in Vegas and Talbot to wrap it up in San Jose. Could go Riddick, Talbot, Riddick again in San Jose. So I don't know. We'll find out more in the news on that in the next couple of days. But we are off to Vegas. I will have reports. Our next podcast, I'll talk a little bit about the experience of going to a game in Vegas for all of you Flames fans who have not been down there. And I know there's a lot of you that do get on airplanes and head down to watch that, because it is always a good, good matchup. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
Flames fans, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and joined Al MacInnis. They've got their sweats on, and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.